Alan.
Grez.
Here. And welcome to Rise of the Robots. Just before the start of the episode, just a quick reminder that if you want to hear our dulcet tones elsewhere, well, good luck finding it with Grez, because he's not on a podcast at the moment. He's mine! All mine!
Yep, I've actually just had the gag taken out of my mouth and the handcuffs taken off just so I can record this.
And meanwhile, if you want to hear me elsewhere, you can listen to the DCAU podcast where Rebecca and I discuss DC animated movies.
And on the occasion, you can find me there. If you miss me.
I'm Alan.
I be Grez.
And you're listening to Rise of the Robots. This week we are covering Robot Wars, The Fifth Wars. Let's see. And this is a strong, spicy one.
Finally, we've got through the... I never thought I'd say, oh, we've finally got through the dregs to get to a good episode when episodes 1 and 2 respectively had Chaos 2 and Hypnodisc in it. But... yeah, as old good old JR would say, business has picked up.
And it picks up straight away as we get to see the last hurrah of Plunderbird.
Yeah.
And also we see something else, something quite historic. We see the first great vertical disc.
Oh, it's the one that started it all, folks.
Certainly in the UK. Obviously, you had Nightmare in the USA.
Nightmare in the USA. Okay, well, let's just dive right in, because our first match from Dunsthorpe S3.
Who they keep on seeming to think, talk as if this team is rookies. They're not. They're the teams that made Sting. This is actually Sting 3. It is nothing like the other Stings,
however.
Hence
the S, and hence the 3.
It is basically... it's such the prototype vertical robot. It has two wheels, and then the main feature is a 20-kilo... vertical spinning disc.
And from its match graphic, it also has snatching jaws.
Well, the idea is basically, because of the way the teeth are designed on the disc, it's meant to lift up its opponents.
Oh, okay. I'll give it that then. And his opponent, from Hampshire, Plunderbird 5.
So, it is noticeable in this episode that there's very little actual Plunderbird presence. I don't know if that is one of the signs of we are trying to fit so much into such a small space of time, which has happened in the last few episodes.
That we have no time for your shite.
That said, now, obviously, we have been shitting on Plunderbird for a little while, and we've said that we would say the reason why. But to
give
them...
Yes, it is a bit petty, but still.
Yeah. Now, to give them credit, they do the job.
Yeah.
So, this fight does not last long. S3 just rips chunks out of them. And it's actually quite scary. It is to the point of, like, I don't think we've seen something this destructive since Season 3 Hypnodisc, when people didn't know what they were fighting against.
Yeah. Yeah, because, like, at first it just felt like there was a couple of glancing blows from S3, because it just didn't get, like, fully head-on. But then, see, the second it dinked the side of Plunderbird 5 and just tore away, like, the armor almost completely. And then it just went to work on that area. And it got so bad that, like, literally the two wheels by the end of the match had been ripped from the robot.
Yeah.
And also, I think this was like the one and only time where we actually seen the claw on Thunderbird 5 move right before he got snapped completely apart.
Oh, why? Oh, it's just... And not only that, afterwards, Thunderbird, they don't even play up. They don't even do the, we're tough guys, and blah, 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 blah. They actually put over their opponent.
Yeah, they put down their controller, like, as soon as they realised they were done, and then they just done their infamous stand with their arms folded.
So, yeah, you may have noticed we've kind of been a bit salty about Thunderbird for a while.
Mm-hmm.
This is because the Plunderbird team are the only team in the history of this podcast that we have contacted that have gone out of their way to email us back and say, no, we don't want to be on the show.
Yeah, they used the term, and I'm sure yous have probably heard us say it once or twice before, that they've been there and they've done that.
Which, firstly, one, we have no evidence that they did.
Yep. Never have I heard a podcast where either of them have been on. And as far as I'm concerned, as of right now, they have not been there and they have not done that. However, I'd be willing to say that I was wrong if someone could provide me with said evidence. Because I would genuinely love to hear it. Like, I'd love to hear an actual interview from them. But as far as I know, that is not out there.
Yeah. So, as I said, I mean, it sounds like a really petty reason. Let's be honest, it is a petty reason.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely petty.
But it's because, now, they are not the only people that I've contacted that we've not interviewed. But everyone else, because they haven't got back to us, I can hold that small delusion of, oh, it just ended up in their junk email folder.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's why... and you know what? For all we shit on them, Thunderbird team were good. They did what they need, what we needed them for. That, you know, it was nice to have an actual comedy act. Even if the robots were generally a bit naff. And hey, at least in the end, they did the job properly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they provided us with some great memories, and we will still thank you for those.
Yep. But as far as talking about Plunderbird, we have been there, we have done that, and we ain't doing it again. Anyway, on to some good robots. Mousetrap versus Shredder.
Yep, from Oxford and Bristol, the Mousetrap. And from Leamington Spa, Shredder.
So, Mousetrap is still one of these robots that I don't remember. I thought this robot was better than I remember it. The opposite. I thought this robot was...
Worse?
Was worse than I remember it being. I remember it being a really good robot.
Hmm.
And don't get me wrong. It's better than anything I could build.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, like, I believe this is what we call, or what we've now figured out as the Wildar paradox.
Yes!
Of seeming to remember Wildar being a significantly better robot that went further than it ended up doing on the few times that we've seen Wildar. And I don't even know if it's ever coming back.
I actually think Thermidor might be part of this category as well.
Yes, I think we discussed that.
I think the producers have also done that with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because in the last extreme was the very infamous moment where Thermidor chucked out both Behemoth and Stinger in the one fight. And then I think... With that, we were like, oh man, yeah, remember how awesome Thermidor was? And then clearly everybody just thinks of that one moment. And then every time you see Thermidor, it's like, oh, no. Mm.
Yep.
I mean, another great robot, great gimmick, and I mean, absolutely lovable robot, but just never went the distance really when it mattered.
So, Mousetrap, which is the... Wedge robot with, instead of an axe, a giant mouse trap.
Now with the added axe blade on it, which it didn't have originally. I think it was in the last season, or was it the season before?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. Well, I think it was last season. I think it's only been 2 seasons.
And they make a big deal about slicing a bit of paper on
To be
on
fair, that
the
is
blade.
actually quite impressive.
I mean, I guess, but does it really... I don't think it needs to be particularly that sharp to be able to slice a piece of paper. It's not that difficult. But nevertheless,
Its opponent is Shredder, which this is a robot that continues to appear up until season 7.
Yes.
And yeah, so it is a, I'm assuming, invertible robot. Its main weapon is two small spinning discs. It kind of looks like a DJ station.
Or like an old tape
Yeah.
player.
And yeah, this is also the team that made Manic Mutant.
I remember you. So this match doesn't last very long.
No.
Mousetrap uses its axe mousetrap weapon a few times and then goes for the pit. And I don't think Shredder knows the rules because it just dives headfirst straight into the pit.
Well, to be fair, it reverses into the pit, but still.
Okay, arse first into the pit then,
Yeah.
Mr. To be exact.
Well, which would you rather be kicked in, the bollocks or the arse?
I was thinking about this the other day. Do you know what would probably be the worst area to be kicked in? Is the area between your balls and your arse. Because I feel like that's a very small area, but I feel like see if somebody kicked you like directly there, like the pain would disperse in both directions, so making both your nards and your bum bum sore.
Ow.
So it's to answer your question, it's secret option number three.
So, anyway. Also, you can tell that Shredder stands a great chance. Because.
The only attack that it does on Mousetrap, it
No, no,
rams
no.
its two discs on the side and nothing happens. But go on.
It gets the jobber entrance.
Ah, yes. Already in the arena. Shredder.
Yep.
Oh, dear.
So, yeah, this is not a great match.
It didn't last long.
So, meanwhile, obviously last week, we got our fill of bright yellow, silly
Scottish
Scottish
rope.
robots.
So here's another one. Okay, this is three episodes so far. Every episode featuring at least one Scottish robot. The first episode actually had two. I do know for a fact that there's a Scottish robot in the next episode as well. The Scottish are coming. They're all just showing up with not very good robots.
Isn't this the team that made All Talk?
Yep, all the talks.
Yeah, the robot that was so good we gave it its own entrance theme. Yeah.
I feel like for this hippopotamus from Fife, hippopotamus should get its own entrance theme, but it's like distorted and wacky sounding.
No, I don't. I can't be bothered to spend that much time editing for this robot.
Yeah, it's like what I think of when I see all talk and then hippopotamus. It's like, you know how the TikTok noise of someone trying to play like the Titanic theme song on flute, and it's like it still starts off all right, but then very quickly goes to hell because it's all been played wrong. I feel like that's what I hear when I hear Hippopotamus
Yeah.
driving on.
Yep.
I can tell you, going into this, this match definitely has the most amount of notes of any fight on this card today.
Yes, because its opponent is...
from Lincolnshire, Stinger.
So, yeah, it is the returning grand finalist. And at first you watch this match and you're like, oh, this is going to last like 2 minutes, not 2 minutes at best. And not only that, Stinger is a robot that sounds scary. See, when you hear it hit the ground.
Yeah. Thunk, thunk, thunk.
It is terrifying. But it just kind of flails wildly and doesn't really hit.
Right, so I think we should probably go back to Hippobotamus, because you didn't really describe the... Well, I suppose now we've seen Hippobotamus before.
Just for the record.
Yeah, but just for the record.
This is a kid's play pit made of plastic with a... The hippo head is attached and just kind of flaps on the front of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it just kind of... Its weapon is a axe saw blade way before this became the norm.
But also, I don't see any kind of, you know, connection to the saw to have it spinning. It looks like it's just a saw mounted on an arm.
Except the arm is not currently working.
It hits like twice or something and then just stops.
Yeah.
I don't think the saw ever moves, or if it does, it looks still. And, I mean, as much as we kind of have poked fun at it, Hippobotamus does, I guess, as well as you could probably do.
Yeah, it manages to keep going. And hey, it does make it to a judge's decision.
I mean, it very, very much just makes it to a judge's decision.
It is dragging bits of itself around everywhere.
Yeah, one of the most disturbing bits is when Stinger swings the tail and just, like, rips half of the hippopotamus face off.
Yeah.
That's a bit morbid. Hippobotamus ends up in with dead metal, the top is flying off and is just kind of holding on. Bits are just falling off every which way. But as you kind of alluded to at the beginning of the fight, not much of this damage was done by Stinger. Like, little bits and pieces, but a lot of the damage was done when Hippobotamus got stuck in the corner with dead metal.
And bizarre as it sounds, it is actually Stinger who is saved by the bell.
Yes, because Stinger, like, I can't help but feel as if there was something wrong with Stinger by the end of this fight, because it just looked as if a lot of speed and maneuverability just kind of left Stinger near the end of this fight, which is what caused it to get stuck in the CPZ with Sir Killalot. It gets clamped, and very easily Sir K could have probably just thrown Stinger at the arena, but I'm sure there's probably some rule that you're not allowed to do that.
Probably.
But yeah, so there was like a brief glimmer of hope near the end of that fight.
Yep.
So Stinger obviously wins.
But not by as definitive a gap as you would expect.
Yes. When you think Stinger versus Child Sandpit, you would think, oh, they had this in the bag. So when Craig Charles announces that Stinger wins, the little girl on Team Hippobotamus is obviously completely heartbroken.
Which, to be fair, yes. If you're six, yeah, no, that makes sense.
Then Team Stinger say they don't care about making kids cry.
Yeah.
And then they give Ellen, I think her name was, the prototype tail that they had as like a kind of...
A test for the weapon.
Yeah, like they're holding it up like it's kind of like a mascot, for lack of a better word. But like they give that to Ellen, and it's like, oh, here's a reminder of the time where our robot kicked the shit out of your box of sand. Yep. So every day that you can wake up and look at it and remember how we made you cry on television.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
But hey.
Heaven's fair in love and robot wars.
But hey, we have a returning robot.
We do. Because coming up next, from Hull, General Carnage 2.
Which is completely and utterly different from General Carnage 1 that fought in Series 3. It's also the same team that made Prometheus in Series 2.
Yes. I'm trying to remember General Carnage.
In fact, Prometheus is a robot that lost to All Talk.
Let's see. That would have been a fun fight if you just put that back together.
Yep.
Oh, yes. I remember you now.
So this version, however, is a flipper robot with awesome teeth on the flipper. It looks brilliant. It does look a bit Series 3.
Yeah. Like, if there was a bit more paintwork on it or something, like...
Yeah, it's just raw metal. It's either that or it's an early BattleBots robot.
Just everything made out of Hypnodisc-style metal.
Yeah.
With those, like, divots on it.
Uh-huh.
And their opponent, from Birmingham, Gesunderbot.
Who cares?
What is a Gesunder?
Not a clue.
Anyway, red and black robot with a mace weapon that doesn't work, and it's flipped over instantly. And then, in a very bizarre turn of events...
A Gesunder is a portable container for urine and defecation.
Ew!
It's a chamber pot! Well, to be fair, this robot is shit.
And piss.
And gets ooted.
Yeah, like... See if there was a Robot Wars quiz of name every robot that ever completed an OOTA. This would be your wild card.
Oh, this is the robot on Pointless. Name robots that go out of the arenas.
Yeah, yeah. This is a Pointless answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a lot better than my one. So, piss and shit robot, it was nice knowing you for 5 seconds, because I don't think it ever comes back.
No, it doesn't. And why would you?
I mean, with a name like that, I feel like they had to have named it that as a joke.
Yep. Hi, Alan here, just taking a quick break from the action. Chris and I would like to thank a couple of the people that made this podcast possible. First, we would like to thank Greg Watt for the logo.
Our theme song is also by Technomax. You can find their music online at YouTube. That's just search for Technomax.
That's Technomax spelled TekNoAxe. So, on to the semi-finals.
So, in the second round, we have General Carnage 2 against Stinger.
And again, this is another one of these. It's a nothing fight, because the problem with Stinger is, because it's doing blunt force trauma, you can't really see the damage it's doing.
Yeah, it's always the case with robots like this, especially when it goes to a judge's decision of, like, they can probably be rattling every single thing on the insides, but you can't see it.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But fortunately for Stinger, this match doesn't go to a judge's decision, because, like, okay, so here's the thing. Like, before we get to that part, we'll run over the rest of the match, because I can't help but feel as if General Carnage was top in the early going here.
Yeah, it was. Absolutely.
It seems as if, like, Stinger didn't really get many good hits. General Carnage was slow but methodical. Every now and again, it would get like a Stinger would get like its spinning move that it does, but General Carnage just kept flipping and flipping and flipping, and then eventually it just seemed to get that one whack too many, and it just kind of grounded to a halt. And
yep.
In my notes, I wrote, this is kind of unfortunate.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the general gets flipped and pitted. The general is gone.
And then we get on to, quite frankly, one of the greatest matches in Robot Wars history.
It's definitely one of those, what's the word, like, God damn it. It's like something gem. What's the word I'm looking for here?
Hidden
Uncovered
gem.
Gems? Hidden gem. Thank you. Jesus Christ, man. yeah, it's definitely a hidden gem of a match. Like this. So it's S3 versus Mousetrap. And I will probably go off on a rant in a little second, but we'll get to it when we get to it. So S3 goes straight to the butt of Mousetrap. As Mousetrap, like, the first thing they do is they go for the pit again.
Because I know it's that one shot is we need to get underneath, because as we find out later, Mousetrap's armor is not good.
It is not
very good.
And then, as I was making fun of the Mousetrap weapon earlier on, Mousetrap manages to get a perfect shot around the weapon of S3, and it actually does do some damage. But then we get the two of them tussling in the corner with Sir Killalot watching, and we get Jonathan Pierce going, "Oh, S3! S3's gone for the spring! It's gone for the spring of Mousetrap! If he could
cut that..."
The spring
is just decorative.
Yeah, I know. It's just a decorative bit of the way, like the robot, like. But then we get our second entanglement device.
Yeah, this is. Yeah. And it's this moment where you see the spring get sucked in. And after a while, you're going, "This is the point in BattleBots where two men run in and pull them apart."
Yeah. Eventually they get separated, and then S3 manages to get the spring out of the system, and this is the moment when Mousetrap, I don't know if this was a good shot or a bad shot, to be honest with you. I think it's all going to depend on how you look at it, because Mousetrap manages to get a perfect shot directly on the S3 weapon. Now, it came out worse than the exchange, because it did rip like half of the blade away from the robot. But if you want to look at it in a tactical sense, like, it was maybe trying to disable S3's weapon.
And also, there is this moment where you can actually see that S3 realizes, wait a minute, this match is really, really close. It's going to go to the judges. And it goes for two final attacks, and both of them are ugly.
Lethal.
Both of them are disfiguring.
Yeah.
Did you see the side of Mousetrap cave?
Oh, it was pretty beautiful. It was a last ditch effort, and I think if they hadn't got those two shots in, I probably would not be surprised if Mousetrap won this.
Oh, no, Mousetrap had won this match until those last two hits.
Mm-hmm.
It had outdriven, it had out-tactic, it had out-styled, hadn't out-damaged, but...
It hadn't out-damaged, but it was aggressive.
At
the point just before those last two, maybe we'll call it three hits, as we say, with the weapon-on-weapon collision, Mousetrap probably did the most damage at that point. It was those last, 30 seconds of the fight where S3 was just, oh my god, we need to do something, and we need to do it quick.
And it goes to the judges. And, yeah.
Yep, S3 takes it.
Yep.
But even when Craig Charles interviewed them, you seen one of them wiping the sweat from their brow, and it's like, yeah, they knew as well.
This is one of the things where, out of nowhere, this is one of the matches of the night.
Yeah.
So.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
We get to the final.
Just before we go to the final, we see Jonathan Pierce, and I just noticed he has some of the Robot Wars toys set up on his desk.
He's like you, Grizz.
Mines are collectibles. I don't play with them.
I don't think he does either.
I wouldn't be surprised. he's just between robots going in and out of the arena, he's just playing with his little chaos too, and hypno desk. I mean, it must get quite lonely up there in the old cherry picker on his own,
I suppose.
So we are through to the final of S3 versus Stinger.
Yep. And this is one of these fights that's kind of... It's a shame because all the damage on both robots is internal. And you can tell, especially by the end, Stinger is really suffering.
It's clawing to life.
Yeah. It's the first time we've really seen a robot actually have Stinger on the ropes. Because Stinger is such a hot... Do you know what Stinger is? Stinger is the UK's equivalent of Tazbot. This robot that's really awkward to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And hence tend to do fairly well.
Yeah, that's actually a really good comparison.
Yeah.
So, S3, it does get some good shots early on. I feel like it just seemed to constantly be going for the tires. And obviously since... You know, Stinger is about 90% tire. It's a good strat. But, as it goes along, Stinger hits the pit, which, Stinger near a pit is never really good. Look at season 3.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it even really meant to hit the pit. It kind of bounced off of Stinger. Off of Shunt, sorry. And it got very close to the pit as it was driving away. But it very quickly, also I think this was also quite good strategy, is it seen the pit opening and promptly went to the other side of the arena. But after some whacks back and forth from S3 and Stinger, Stinger just all of a sudden starts to slow down. And then starts to slow down some more, and then just slows to a stop.
Yeah.
It slows to a stop against the wall, and like Jonathan Pierce is like, oh, it's stuck on the wall. And it's like, it's not stuck on the wall, it's dead.
Yeah.
And then the one last shot that S3 does obviously kind of confirms what you said at the beginning about its weapon, of the way that the weapon's supposed to lift the robot up, because it just very flicks Stinger and topples it over itself.
So S3 is able to take the win, and I think it's very clear that this is the beginning of a massive change in the kind of the fabric of Robot Wars, because this is a team that ends up being a huge factor.
Yeah.
In Robot Wars.
And then, like, the bizarre thing is, Stinger gets the infamous floor flipper, and then kind of comes alive again.
Yeah, it resurrects one of their wheels. Only one, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, it was already counted out at that point as well, so it's irrelevant, but just quite interesting that it went from being completely dead to, I'm working again.
Yep.
So, I'm really looking forward to seeing more S3. Over the coming years.
Yep.
But that's episode 3 in the books. Do you have anything for us, sir?
Yes, we do. So the third heat of the series saw only one series newcomer, Gzunderbot, that was beaten in 32 seconds in the first round. To the point where we are not going to have a best new robot. Because, no, you're not getting this, Gzunderbot.
Yes, do you know who should get this? Woewot from last week.
Woewot's not even a rookie.
There's the new robot.
Lamzy.
No. I said last week, and I'm saying it again this week, they don't deserve it.
They deserve it more than Gzunderbot.
You've got me by the old pigtails on that one.
So, General Carnage 2, the robot to defeat Gzunderbot, is the only robot in the show's history to flip another robot out of the arena, but never reach the heat final stage in the UK Championship.
That is WWE levels of specific.
S3 was one of only two unseeded robots to win a heat in the Fifth Wars.
Oh.
S3 also became the only robot in history to defeat 3 previous semi-finalists on the way to winning its heat. Plunderbird, Mousetrap, and Stinger.
That's a cool statistic.
This heat consisted of 4 separate pairs of robot teams who would not meet here but would face each other outside of this episode. Stinger and Mousetrap in the Series 4 semi-finals.
Mm-hmm.
Team Talk and Team Carnage in Heat 1 of Series 2.
Mm.
Shredder and S3 in Heat D of Series 6. And Team Talk and Mousetrap in their Mayhem match in Extreme 1.
Hmm.
Heat winners S3's team had previously entered Robot Wars with Sting, of which S3 could be regarded as the third incarnation. This means that the Heat final could be seen as Sting versus Stinger.
I like it.
Interestingly, the introductions from Stinger, Plunderbird 5, and Mousetrap were all taken from Robot Wars Extreme Series 1. Stingers came from its All-Star Battle against Pussycat, Plunderbird 5's from its Vengeance Battles, and Mousetrap's from its Mayhem Qualifier.
The Plunderbird didn't get an intro? Or do you mean, like, the driving into the arena?
The driving into the arena.
Oh, okay.
The reuse of Plunderbird 5's introduction at the start of the battle against S3 leads to an inconsistency in the show. At the start of the fight, S3 enters the arena first, with Plunderbird 5 clearly visible in the left entry gate. But when Plunderbird 5 is shown entering the arena, it comes through the right entry gate and is the first competitor to enter the arena.
I did not notice that.
I did notice that it seemed to have moved in a strange to a strange place. So,
maybe it just took the long way around.
Most improved. And is there any way that we can say it's anyone other than S3?
No. I mean, this is the kind of thing. Like, obviously, like, it's a team that have been here before, but S3 is a new robot. So I feel like there is kind of, like, a little bit of a, you know, an asterisk. But then also, I was going to use that to try and, you know, give General Carnage a bit of credit. But as soon as I said all that, I was like, well, General Carnage was nowhere near, like, General Carnage 1 was, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, you know, honorable mention goes to General Carnage.
Yeah, but, no, absolutely.
Yeah. S3.
And also, Match of the Night, S3 Mousetrap.
Easily.
Yeah, absolutely. So, that is another heat in the can. We will be back next week where we will be kicking up something of a firestorm.
I see what you did there.